Good morning, and welcome to worship on this holiday weekend. It is good to see you, and we are glad that you are here and have chosen to spend part of this weekend together with us in worship. My name is Steve Price, and I am one of the pastors here, along with my wife, Catherine, and with Reverends Aaron and Lenora Russo. And we are so glad, especially if you were here with us for the first time today, we are delighted to welcome you as our guest. We hope that you will take a moment and let us know that you've been here, whether you are new or you are here all the time. And you can do that by filling out the Connect card that is located in your bulletin. Just simply pull that out. You can write your name on that. If you're new, share as much information as you're comfortable with. That will help us get to know you and be in touch with you. And if you are here regularly, just your name and your email is very helpful. And then those can be placed in the offering plate a little bit later in the service this morning. You may have noticed as you walked in this morning a new addition along the partition that we have set up for summer worship. We have some color and some decoration there now, and it is not random. We are celebrating a month of missions, and the flags that you see represent the countries where Trinity has ongoing relationships and commitments to missions right now in a variety of ways. And so these are a reminder for us of our connectedness beyond just our immediate community and the way in which Trinity is having an impact and bringing the love of Christ to others around the world. Also in your bulletin today, you will see information about today's mission emphasis. Our mission box is for the Honor Center, which helps veterans in transition from homelessness to being housed, providing temporary shelter for them. And if you would like to make a contribution to support that mission effort, you can place those in the mission boxes that you will see as you exit the worship space this morning. And then our mission gathering for today was flip-flops, which also assists those veterans who often go without shoes and who need forms of footwear to get around the city. So thank you for your generosity in helping with that. Well, this summer there are lots of people who are traveling, going in different directions, having different vacations and different experiences. And sometimes those are very well planned. And then sometimes things happen that were not planned at all, right? And so it is in the life of faith as well. If we spend very much time on the journey with God, there are things that will come along our way that will be unexpected and invite us to take unplanned paths. Well, this morning, however it is that your journey has brought you here to this place, to be with us for this time, we are glad that it has. And we want to say to you this morning as we begin worship, welcome home. And let me invite you to say good morning to someone near you as we get started.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able and join us as we begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn.
Your voice and with us sing, oh, praise ye, hallelujah.
for freedom that you have set us free. And so let us use our freedom to serve one another in love. As we worship you today, we pray that you change our hearts and lives so that as we leave here, we might be your instruments in the world, spreading the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name that we pray. Amen. And let us affirm our faith together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
I want to invite the Tripp family up to join us this morning. We are so glad that we have the opportunity to celebrate a baptism today. The people that you see coming forward here are Brady and Patty Tripp and their son Darby, as well as being connected to Trinity. Brady and Patty happen to be our neighbors, some of the first people that we met when we got to Gainesville. And also today with them are Brady's parents, Larry and Pat, and we're so glad that you all were able to make the trip all the way from Connecticut to be here for this occasion as well. Very special to have them. So Brady and Patty and Darby also, and I got a chance to visit a couple of weeks ago and talk about today and what a special moment it is in his life and in their life. And I'm going to ask them the questions now that we had talked about as we met and invite you to respond. I do to these questions. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and will you nurture Darby, and the answer to this will be I will you nurture Darby in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And then Larry and Pat, we are so glad that you're here and want you to be able to have a role in this as well, as I know you do. And so I ask you this question, if you would respond, I will. According to the grace given to you, will you sponsor and support and encourage both Brady and Patty and Darby throughout this life as he joins the journey of faith?
As we pour the water of baptism, we are grateful for this gift of water and for the sign it is for us of God's grace and presence in our lives. And so I ask you now to bow your heads and pray with me as I pray over the water.
Oh God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark water and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water in those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And grandparents to come and put a little hand on the doggy. Put a hand on his head or a shoulder or arm or whatever. Everybody gather around and lay a hand on him. And this is a way that we make a physical act that we are praying for Darby. Darby, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm looking like I'm like, I'm going to take this baby and walk this baby around.
Catherine walks Darby around so that you can see him. We invite you to join in offering your word of welcome and blessing to him and to the family. So would you join in saying the words that you see printed on the screen? We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith in mission. May God bless you always.
Jesus loves you, we do too. We'll prepare a place for you where you'll grow in faith so strong. Serve him all night long. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
I'll meet you guys down here. We now have an opportunity to continue sharing our joys with God, as well as bringing our concerns to God, before a God who really does hear our prayers and longs to answer our prayers. As we do, I want to remind you of those that we are visiting in the hospital or we have, and encourage you to continue to pray for them, not only today, but throughout the week, as we often hear from them how they sense our prayers and how much a difference that makes for them in their healing journey. This week, as we prepare to celebrate the independence of our country, we want to do so with grateful hearts, but also quite mindful of the fact that many around the world do not enjoy the freedom and independence that we often can take for granted. And so we will turn our attention in that direction with our prayers, but begin with an opportunity for you to pray in silence, the thing before God, whatever it is you brought with you that you want to give thanks for or that you want to lay before His feet. Let's pray together. Liberation and freedom. We have gathered here to worship you and to find peace and direction for our lives. As we take time together this week and to reflect on the blessings of our freedoms that have been sorely fought for and won, we acknowledge that in too many places there is so little to celebrate. Our spirits ache for people far and near who suffer and struggle just to have the basic necessities. Grant that we may celebrate this week with grateful hearts, while never forgetting that you have given us a ministry and a mission to be agents of justice and peace in this world until you come again in final victory. Help us to be mindful of the many ways in which we can reach out to others by our attitudes and actions. May we be fully present to those who are in need of your hope, comfort, healing, and peace. May your grace sustain all those who find themselves at their weakest and bring eternal hope to all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Bless us, Lord, with wisdom tempered with compassion. Remind us that we have the freedoms we enjoy because others have gone before us and stood on principles of hope. Do not let our pride of country overwhelm the needs that so abound within our land and beyond. Where there is hatred, let us bring words of love. Where there are injustices, help us to correct those systems and become advocates for the voiceless and the powerless. Where there is apathy, empower us to bring the good news of your gracious, transforming love. And for those who serve in harm's way to protect our freedom, may you protect them and make them agents of your love and peace in the world. Be with us this day and all of our days as we seek to follow you, uniting us in your love as we pray together with the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath found the restless wind, who bathed the mighty ocean.
by giving back to God out of the resources that God entrusts us with. And so I invite your ushers to come forward now as I pray. God of extravagant love and abundant blessing, we give you thanks for all that you have entrusted us with. We ask that you help us be grateful and mindful of all that you have blessed us with, that we may give back to you now out of those resources, that you may further the mission and the ministries of this church and the world, so that we may plant seeds for your kingdom, that all may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord, and justice and peace may prevail until you do come in final victory. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen, and thank you, choir, for that offering on this weekend. And as we continue to remember the journey of faith that we are marching on and that God goes on that journey of faith with us. It is good to be back with you all. You may be aware that Steve and I have been away for a couple of Sundays on a vacation of sorts and doing things with family. It's always good to go away and have a change of scenery, and it's always good to come home. And so it is great to be home and to be with you all again in worship. This morning, we're continuing this series on the unexpected journey, and we're talking about Uncharted, the call of Abraham. The scripture reading is from the 12th chapter of Genesis, and it is at this point in the book of Genesis that there's kind of a shift in direction. The first 11 chapters of Genesis are the history of the world and the history of us as a people, our beginnings kind of long ago and far away. And it is also, those first 11 chapters, the history of sin, beginning with the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the garden and all of the sin that resulted from that, and then leading toward the destruction of the earth, and then God's call to Noah to build an ark, and the beginning of a new covenant that God made with us. Lenora preached about Noah and the ark last week. But before we get to the call of Abraham, we hear about the eight generations, beginning with Noah's son, Shem. And we get all the way down eight generations to Terah. And Terah, we realize, may be about the end of that branch of the family tree. Because Terah had two sons, one of whom died, and one, Abram, who was married to Sarah. And she had never had any children, and yet they were very old in age. But just when we think that we've come to the end of the line and that the story comes to a close, God begins a new chapter. Isn't that how it is in our own lives sometimes as well? Just when we think that we've come to an ending, everything is finished, then we turn the page and God begins something new or calls us to something new. And that's how it is in Genesis. And we move from this story of sin and disobedience, and we move into the story of God's continued presence with us and God's continued salvation. Now, we're talking about Abram and Sarai, and you guys probably know them more as Abraham and Sarah, and yet this is before God changed their names, and so they're called Abram and Sarai. And we'll read together that story from the 12th chapter, and I invite you to silently read along with me on the screens as you like. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name respected, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, those who curse you. I will curse all the families of the earth will be blessed because of you." Abram left, just as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took with him his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of their possessions, and those who became members of their household in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as the sacred place at Shechem, at the Mount of Moriah. And the Canaanites lived in the land at that time. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, I give this land to your descendants. So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. From there he traveled toward the mountains east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord who worshipped in the Lord's name. Then Abram set out toward the arid southern plain, making and breaking camp as he went. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Now let me invite you, as I do each week, to pray for me in sharing this message with you. As I pray for you, that God will speak a word into your heart and life. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. An uncharted journey. How many of us have ever set out on a journey not knowing exactly where we were going to go? On the way out at the last service, somebody said that his mother would often throw them all in the car, and they would say, where are we going? And she would say, we're following the hood ornament. Our nephew is a student at the University of Florida, and he traveled with a cohort of about a dozen students for a program this summer in South Africa. And they were all there for, 3 weeks or so, and then they all came home together. Except for our nephew Matthew. He decided that he was going to stay in South Africa by himself with no tour guide, no itinerary, no reservations, and go on a marvelous adventure. And he stayed there for 3 weeks, and he did have some marvelous adventures, and he also had some times that were rather frightening along the way by himself as well. How often is that how it is in our lives? We're on this unknown journey. We don't know exactly where we're headed, and there can be some marvelous things about that, and also some frightening things as well, or some uncharted, unexpected things. I said on Friday in the pastor's message that Steve and I have been married for 31 years last week. We got married when I had been 22 for 2 months, and we both had been out of college for a month. Now, at that point, I would say that we really didn't have a clue about what we were getting ourselves into. As a married couple, you walk down the aisle, or about to be married couple, you walk down the aisle and you stand and say before God and the congregation that you will love and cherish, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, till death do you part. Really, on that day, you probably don't have the vaguest idea what you're getting yourself into. And at the end, when the minister pronounces you husband and wife, you may think that's the end. We're married. And yet it's the beginning of this wild and wonderful adventure together. It's the same way when we have kids. Baptizing Darby this morning. When we have children, particularly our first child, we don't really know what to expect, a lot of us. I remember when I went to the hospital to go into labor with our first child, Shelby Hart. I remember picking up that bag and heading out the door, and I was scared to death. I didn't know what labor would be like, and mine was not so good, and I didn't know what it would be like to welcome a child into our family. And I remember when we came home from the hospital, there was a sign as I opened the front door right in front that said, "Welcome home." And that was great. And yet as I was carrying this itty-bitty baby that felt so fragile and breakable, I thought, oh my gosh, it doesn't feel like home anymore. Everything is all of a sudden different and new. What will it mean to try to raise this child and love this child? And through the tears and the joys and the heartache and the trials, what will it be like to try to raise this child? We were definitely headed off into uncharted territory. The story from Genesis, I imagine Abram, he's just sitting there minding his own business. You know, he's minding his own business when he hears the voice of God call out to him. He is comfortable and secure and content with all of his children and his belongings and his position in that particular place. And God comes to him and calls him to go off into the unknown. God just shows up and says to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. It's really like God is telling Abram to pack up his family and all of his belongings and fly to South Africa with no itinerary and no tour guide and no reservations, and no return flight. First of all, God tells him to leave. God says, leave your country and your clan and your home. Leave the land that you know, the people that you know, the comfort of home. Leave everything that offers you security and peace and a sense of place and go. Leave all that is yours. Wow, that's quite a command, you know? But although God, and then God says to him, go where? Go to the land that I will show you. God doesn't even tell him where he is going at the beginning. His journey, Abram's journey, is still uncharted at this point. God simply says literally, get going to the place that I will show you. So, God doesn't tell him where he's going, but God does tell him why to go. God tells Abram, get going because I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and then you will be a blessing to others. God calls Abram to leave and then promises to give him security and peace and a sense of place. Now, at this point, we have to go back and remember one small piece of information that we got in chapter 11 that I just kind of mentioned, and that is, we are told that Sarai is barren. She has been unable to have children, and they are in old age at this point. And yet, God's first promise to Abram is that he will make of him a great nation. His family was at the end of the line. There was no hope. No hope left for the end of that family tree. And yet God has now offered him hope. Actually, God has promised him hope. God promises to bring new life out of the dead and barren places and to make Abram and Sarai the ancestors of a great nation. Now, the second promise that God gives to Abram is that God will bless Abram and make his name great. Earlier in Genesis, you may remember something about the Tower of Babel. Well, that was a tower that the people built, and it says, so they could make their name great. And God didn't like that, and God dispersed them and gave them different languages. But now God be the father of a particular family, a particular nation, and God will make his name great. It's not something that Abram will do for himself or by himself, but God will do it. Hope for a new future doesn't come from our self-aggrandizement or self-achievement, but it comes from God. God will bless him and make his name great. That's the second promise. God will do that. And then finally, the third promise is that God will bless Abram so that Abram can be a blessing to others. In fact, all nations will find blessing through Abram. The blessing of God on Abram will somehow flow out to all people. God initiates this new relationship with a family of which we are descendants. And that means that we too receive those promises. Although our journey may be yet uncharted, although we don't know where the journey of faith and life will take us, we do know that God promises to be with us by offering us hope and bringing new life out of barrenness so that then we can be a blessing to others. Yet, we, like Abram, have to risk going out on that uncharted journey. We always have a choice. That's our free will. We always have a choice not to go, to stay where it's comfortable, to stay where we have a sense of home, to stay with our family. But we can choose not to give up security and place and family and will. But that's what God calls Abram to do. God calls Abram to give some of that up and to take some of that with him, but to go. And just like God calls Abram, Jesus calls us as well. Jesus says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever would lose his life for the sake of me and the gospel will save it." We are called too to this uncharted path. You know, when we do choose to follow, even then we're not guaranteed that it's going to be smooth and clear as we go forward. Let's go back and look at chapter 12 again. There's one little phrase in there. It says, "Abram left just as the Lord told him, and they set out for the land of Canaan." Now, we've heard about Canaan before. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, and it was where God said Abram would be the father of a great nation. But there's one little verse in there, and you can kind of read right over it if you're not careful. It says, "At that time, Canaanites were in the land." Oops. That land was supposed to be empty so that Abram could start a new nation. And yet it already has people in it. Just a minor complication, right? Isn't that somehow like it is with us? Just because God is with us and God promises us peace and comfort and a place in God's family, sometimes it still doesn't work out exactly as we had thought. Sometimes there are still obstacles in the way. Sometimes there are still bumps on the path and detours in the journey. Yet we are still called to go. And we are given a suggestion as to how to keep going when that way gets confusing or the path is rough. So let's go back and look at the scripture one more time. It says, we can imagine Abraham's surprise when he gets to Canaan. And it's a land filled with people already. At that time, there were Canaanites in the land. But then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." And so Abram stopped there and built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. You know, to me that says two things. First of all, it says that when we are startled, when our journey of faith and life takes us on a sudden turn or moves us in a new direction, that when we go to some place like Abram and there are already people living there, and we think, this is definitely a problem. There is a problem with what's happening. God said to Abram at that point, don't worry, I've got this. This land will still belong to your descendants. My plan is still good. Sometimes when things don't go the way that we had anticipated from the beginning, we turn away from God. But this part of the story reminds us, trust in God, that God is still with us, and that God still wants the very best for us. God is still with you, and God still wants the very best for you. The story also reminds us to be very intentional about marking those times. Those times on our journey when we're taking a turn or a detour or moving in a new direction. Abram stopped his God and set up a tent and built an altar. To me, that means we need to take note of those moments when we hear God's voice. Of those times in our lives where there's a significant change in direction, take note of those times when God leads us through and remember them and hold on to them when the way gets rough and difficult. Stop and mark the place and the moment when God begins a new chapter. You know, it was a year ago this weekend that Steve and I were appointed to serve along you all, the wonderful people of Trinity. For the 19 years before that, we had been in Bradenton, where we were sent to do a new church start. And that was a long time to be somewhere. And I'll be honest with you, we didn't have a desire to move or a desire to leave. And yet, we were really clear that we were called to be obedient to God. And we were sensing that God was, in fact, calling us into a new land, a land of orange and blue. And so here we are with you, and we have trusted God during this transition, that God is with us, and that God wants the best for all of us. Use this turning point for good. You know, the other thing we did during that transition was to take 3 months of renewal leave. And I believe truly that we will look back on that time, the decision to take that time, as one of the most important decisions that we were led to make. We took that time to stop and put up a tent and rest. And to build an altar to the Lord. During those 3 months, we rested and we prayed. Most significantly, though, we focused our attention on God. We spent time in prayer and meditation. We did a lot of journaling. We went on a silent retreat. That was a way for us to mark that time and then to prepare for whatever uncharted journey might lay ahead, this journey that we are on now, together with you. Now, this week I was reading Wesley's commentary on Genesis, on this section of Genesis, and in the section where he's writing about God calling Abram to go, to leave his country and his father's house, and his home. Wesley talked about the challenge of going on a journey when you don't really know where you're headed, when the journey is uncharted. He says, when God calls Abram to go, he says this, and it's a quote, and it's in different language, but I think you get the point. Where she says, by this precept, Abram was tried whether he could trust God farther than he could see God. Can we trust God farther than we can see God? Can we trust God farther than we can see? In the middle of your life, when God says to you, get going in a new direction, a new chapter, an unknown path, can you go where you're led? Can you go farther than you can actually see God? When Jesus calls you to follow, will you take up your cross and follow? Can you trust God farther than you can see God? Can we trust God farther than we can see God? God, you are good and gracious, and you desire only the best for us, for each of us. There are chapters in our journey of faith. There are twists and turns and detours in the past. And God, daily, you call us into uncharted territory. Whether it's in our relationships, with our family, with our children, in our job situations, in decisions that we have to make. Oh God, help us to be courageous, be willing to risk when it is called for, and to move forward as your children on this journey of faith. And help us to trust that you are with us, and to stop and mark the time and the moment as a reminder to us of your abiding goodness and presence in our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Here at the table we come, and what we see is ordinary bread and ordinary juice. And yet God invites us to trust beyond what we can simply see, but by faith to recognize these gifts as a way by which God conveys God's grace to us. A way for us to be reminded of God's abiding presence with us, the power and love of Jesus Christ. Today we will sing our liturgy for the table together, and so I invite you to refer to the insert that's in your bulletin that will help you in this. You'll also see the words printed on the screen. Let us join in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also
and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and light, heaven and earth.
blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father.
Amen. 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 Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come and meet us at the altar rail. In Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always open. Everyone is welcome to come and receive as Christ has invited all of us to receive. You'll come out to the left side of your row, come forward, prepare to receive bread, and then after you've received a piece of bread, you'll take it and dip it into the cup, receiving the two elements together. Then you can return to the other side of your section, or if you like, please feel free to spend as much time as you like. Everything is ready, and we welcome you to the table.
please stand, and we'll complete our service by singing just the first and last verses of our closing hymn.
Today, two reminders for you. One, the tangible offering that we are bringing next week is for refugees, and we are receiving from you all reusable grocery bags. That's a huge help to refugees, and so I invite you to bring those next week. And then also, today and for 6 weeks, we will be offering lunch on the other side of this wall right now. You can enjoy Franny's wonderful cooking and enjoy to fellowship with one another and to catch up with people that you haven't seen. So I encourage you to go next door for lunch, and we'll look forward to sharing that with you. So now, as we go, may the Lord bless and keep you on whatever uncharted journey you may be on.